These are important. Let's talk about how America is number three out of 193 countries for gun violence. That's a fact, a sad but true fact. Out of 193 countries, we rank number three for gun violence. But did you also know it's a fact that if you take out the top five cities that have the most gun violence in America, we fall to 189th on that same list. Those five cities, by the way, have some of the most liberal leadership in the country. Those same five cities have the most prohibitive and restrictive gun laws that there are. Those five cities have tried to legislate, they have tried to mandate, they have tried to remove these, but yet they lead our country as the most violent. It's a fact. Out of 193 countries, America ranks number three in gun crime. If you remove the top five liberal, most restrictive cities on gun control there are, we fall to 189th. You're telling me we need more laws? Wake up, America.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And we are the Unrefined Guys, two guys who know a little bit about a lot of things, don't know a whole lot about one particular topic. That guy's pretty interesting. Have you looked through his...
I have, yeah.
Did you find the same thing that I did?
What's that?
Like, he just found fame one day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not dogging the guy
at all.
Right, but his TikTok, prior to him blowing up a few weeks ago, was him simping, that's not the good word. Yeah, it is. Simping products.
Yeah.
Like, he would test products out, and then...
He's a fisher. He fishes all the time. So he was a product tester for a lot of like lures and
lures and shavers. Yeah. And you know, well, good on him. He made a living off of it. It looks like he's a retired guy.
Yeah.
And it, so all of a sudden he makes this fishing video where he blew up about 2 weeks ago. And
yeah, we used that one last week.
Was it last week or the week before?
No,
I knew we'd used it.
And he talks about how if conservatives don't like this, they don't do this. And
But liberals want to legislate it.
Yeah.
Weird. So.
Well, I think what happened there is it happened to a lot of the TikTokers.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got tired of all the bullshit and had to make their opinion, had to say their opinion out loud,
right,
of what's going on in the country.
It seems to be going around a lot because some of Hollywood's doing it.
Yeah.
You're seeing more and more what you thought were liberal Hollywoods coming out and saying, no, we're more moderate than you think.
Right. We're just been told to shut up.
Yeah. We've got to be careful.
Right.
Well, even country music now is moving more and more. They're not moving as quickly, but they're inching towards that lefter side,
right,
of trying to dip their toe in wokeology. I think what they'll find is that won't work very well.
No.
Rock and roll has got about a mixture, I would say, a good mixture of left and right.
Right.
And rock and rollers tend to, except for a few.
Yeah.
They're just wanting to play music. That's it.
Their politics doesn't have,
right.
Some of their songs may be political, but for the most part, they leave the politics out of their music.
Yep.
It's mostly in rock and let's say R&B also, it's more about relationships.
Right. No, I agree with that.
And, you know, whatever that relationship it may be a male or female, or it could be your drugs or your alcohol, or even your
gang banging, or whatever.
But for the most part, they stay away from the politics.
You know, and country has always been looked at predominantly as the right, as the conservative. But what we find, especially over the last 10 years, I would say, is that you see a lot of people who do rock are more conservative than you would have thought.
Right.
You see people doing R&B, not as much. Who is it that, I'm not familiar with it now, just Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
Now, was it Nicki Minaj? Is she pretty loud?
She's very loud and very,
gregarious sometimes.
Yeah.
She has come out. She's definitely not right.
Yeah.
But she's not left. Yeah. She came out and she's talked about Biden's policies and how horrible they are. She also had nice things to say about Trump.
Right.
But then when Trump was in office, she had some pretty rough things to say about him. So she's balanced.
Yeah.
She's a human being.
I'm going to tell the listeners that when Trump gets reelected, we're going to find things to talk about.
Oh, I guarantee we'll be shitting all over that guy's breakfast every morning. But I think that if you're doing the job...
It's a political commentary. It's not one side or the other.
Exactly. If you're going to do the job that we want to do into keeping people's eyes open, yeah, we're rooting for him now. But yeah, we're going to be pissy about him when he's in because he's not going to do a lot of things. It's just the way it is.
All those things you guys are scared of, you on the left.
Yeah, they're not coming to pass.
We can hope that he does some of those things that he's talked about.
Like weaponize the DOJ? Just kidding.
That's the one I hope he doesn't do. The mass deportation, I do want that to happen.
You know, under Obama.
Oh, yeah.
He was called the deporter in chief in his own administration.
Yeah.
Because he still holds the record of the most deportations. He had more deportations than Trump did in his first term.
Yeah.
Well, every president's had more deportations than Biden.
Yes.
Because I don't think he's deported anybody.
No, he's actually imported. He actually pays for flights from Mexico to other states.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Well, it's true.
Your
it's
tax proven. Dollars are being flown from Mexico City and other areas in Mexico.
Yep.
Into various destinations within the United States.
One of them being Florida, because they were dropped off, I remember it was like 13,000 immigrants.
I think it was 13 or 23. I know the three
somewhere,
was in there.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And just dumped them in Florida, basically saying, okay, well, here you guys go. And DeSantis is like, what the?
So he put them on a bus and sent them to Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
They had the quickest deportation in their life at Martha's Vineyard. They didn't last 12 hours and they were out there.
Mm-hmm.
They were loving and wanting these immigrants in until they showed up in their yard and then they turned into the NIMBYs.
Yeah.
I love that term.
Yeah.
Not in my backyard.
Thank you, George Carlin.
Yeah.
Rest your soul.
You got to love that guy. He was so prophetic.
And he was very.
Dead on accurate, too. Scares
way ahead of his time.
And gone too soon, even though he was 70 something.
Well, and he got sick there at the end, so, you know.
Well, the government probably poisoned him. He was the first comedian to come out and talk about these things.
Yeah.
And people say at the time he sounded like he was very liberal, but he wasn't.
Not very liberal.
He was not very liberal. He was very much, he would be today's libertarian.
Yeah.
That's the government.
The thing, is most comedians are on the libertarian spectrum.
They're woke, and then they're on a whole different spectrum.
Then they're just chasing the dollar.
Exactly.
They're only kissing ass to make the money.
How many entertainers are just doing that?
Right.
That's all they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Bill Burr. Yeah.
Bill Burr was one of the funniest comics. He could have been the next, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Carlin. He could have been up there with the likes of Pryor and Eddie Murphy.
Some of his points of view on subjects before his wife got to him and made him woke, some of his points of view were so right on.
Oh, dead spot on.
A bit about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard it, but he's a bit on abortion. He gets it. He understands it's everyone's right and all that. And, you know, it's a woman's right. Who the fuck am I to tell you what to do? But if I'm making a cake and I'm mixing the batter and I put that motherfucker in the oven and you come in and you take that fucker and you throw it on the floor.
I get that. I've never thought of it like that. I know that would be like the wife and I making a cake together.
You really got to look up that bit. It's pretty funny.
I'm going to have to see it because it's a perfect analogy.
Oh, it
I understand it.
Fucking cake murderer.
You're a cake murderer. But we just used abortion as birth control. I saw something at the pharmacy the other day, and I had to ask, and the pharmacist tech wouldn't answer the question.
They've been trained not to.
Right. She said, well, would you like to talk to the pharmacist? And I just chuckled.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's okay. So because of all the meth, all the good cold medicines behind the counter, and they display it right behind where they do the checkout.
Yeah.
And I was looking, I was just looking there as I was getting prescriptions and saw the cold medicines. And I glanced to the right on the same shelf and there was oral contraceptive, 30-day supply. And I went, what? Hold on a minute. And so she comes up, do you have any questions? I do, actually. Yeah. I see the cold medicine there. Oh, do you need something? No. To the right, to my right, there's birth control. Is that what I'm seeing? Yes, sir. Is that available over the counter? I can just ask for that? Well, you'd probably have to talk to the pharmacist about that. Would you? No, I, listen, you just made myself very uncomfortable with that. But I'm just wondering if it's just like the cold medicine. Well, I can get the pharmacist. No, I'm good. Is this birth control available over the counter?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, because look, used to be.
You had to go in
and get your parts checked.
Well, we got Karen here today.
She's busy right now. Are you looking up?
Sorry, I was looking up somebody else that I think is in things just for the money. Would that be Taylor Swift?
She's all right though.
She already had money.
She had money. But maybe Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's in Taylor Swift for the money.
Maybe.
Well, they broke up. Don't know if you heard this.
No, they have not.
Nah, they didn't. Bullshit.
As of 2 days ago, it says they have. They're thinking about moving in together.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, we went from breaking up to moving in together. Yeah. Sounds like a typical relationship when you're in high school, doesn't it?
On his Instagram or his ex or somewhere, he said that he enjoyed his date with, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody totally different than Taylor Swift.
Oh.
So there was speculation that they broke up.
Okay. Mm. Either that or they just have one of those relationships.
Well, in their professions, I wouldn't be surprised.
Pineapples?
Yeah.
So here's a great story. If you go to the grocery store.
We're going to jump to that right now. We have to. I want to. Hold on. Before you do that, Karen,
yes.
Back in the day, as a woman, you'd have to go to the doctor to be put on.
Birth control, yes.
All right.
So you had to get your bits checked.
Yeah.
Apparently now you don't.
And they would want to do blood tests and check your hormone levels and all that.
So I remember when we were in high school, birth control pills weren't a big thing. Today's sponge was.
Yeah.
The condoms were.
The what's that called?
The IUD was.
Well, that.
But and that thing in your arm started with an N.
Form of an IUD. It's just in your arm instead of your
uterus. Which I don't know how it ties off your uterus from your arm, but whatever.
I think it's just sterilizes you.
No, technology is a great thing. What was it? It started with an N, didn't it?
Norplant?
Norplant. That's what it was. What was the other one you were thinking of?
I was thinking of the little rubber. What's that called?
The cup. the little cap.
The barricade, yeah.
Yeah, the barricade. Beaver dam. Whatever it was called. I don't know.
That's what we called it.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd take my daughter when she was young for a checkup. It was no particular reason, a physical exam. She was, 13, 14.
Right.
And I'm in there with the doctor asking questions. And to the doctor's credit, this was our family doctor. He asks her, are you comfortable answering some of these questions in front of your dad? And she said, yes. He didn't ask me if I was comfortable, but apparently that didn't matter.
No, it doesn't at that point.
And he starts asking her about periods and cramping and, it's typical things, acne, sleep schedule, stress, all of these things.
Stuff that didn't really affaze you.
Yeah, none of that affazed me. And then he said, I would think that it might be in your benefit to be placed on birth control. And I went, hold the door. Why? He explained to me his reasoning, and I said, it's funny because I'm talking to other dads and their daughters are being put, like, birth control was being handed out like candy for everything. You're a little depressed, you're not sleeping well, here, try birth control. Oh, you got acne, you're going through puberty, here, put you on some birth control. Oh, you're a little depressed, having a midlife crisis at 13, put you on birth control. And I've been thinking about this as I've watched what's happened in our society, and I wonder if there's something to this. Now, it's not a conspiracy per se,
okay,
but birth control affects the hormones.
Okay.
Yes.
And when women come off of birth control, it can adversely affect females. It has been proven in many studies that you can be in a committed relationship with a lady who's been on birth control for a long time.
Okay.
And when she comes off of that birth control, say you've been dating for 8 years, she was on birth control for 5 or 6 years before you got together, and then you decide we're married now, let's have a family, and she comes off of the birth control. A study was shown that there is a correlation between coming off of that birth control and the female who's coming off the birth control, her attitude and demeanor towards the male involved in the relationship. Many times she found she wasn't as attracted to that male anymore physically. She found that she was repulsed by him in many cases. That there's just this hormonal imbalance that happens.
So you're saying the birth control made her put her beer goggles on?
Kind of. Yeah, because when they think about this, when the females were on birth control, and I don't have anything to base this off of, just our experience, when the girls what we went to high school with were on birth control, who did they typically
not us
go after? They typically went after the jocks.
Yeah.
They went after
the more unobtainable.
The more unobtainable. They went after the prettiest boys, the prettiest 1%. And we were definitely not there.
It wasn't us.
I mean, we might have been in that 1%, but it was in the bottom 1%.
Boy, did we catch a lot of shrapnel, though.
Yes, we did. You know, those heartbreak parties were sometimes good in our favor.
Hey,
but then when those same females came off of that, they started opening their prospects up more. Or in some cases, they closed them up even more. Well, is there a hormonal relationship?
Possibly, but there's also the realization when you're coming off the, when you're looking to start a family, like that's not a good fit for a father figure.
Precisely. That's exactly kind of my point.
Like that's not what I want.
To Bear's credit and his statement being humorous, I think is some credibility to it. Did they have some false premise based because of these birth control pills and the hormones?
This is not, to put it in terms that men usually use for women, that's not a...
Careful, we're not a family-friendly show.
That's not the marrying kind.
Right.
Or that's not someone you take home to mother. That's the person you're out having fun with.
Too fair. That's a fair statement.
Yeah.
There is those who would believe that the pharmaceutical company did these things, these birth control pills, purposely to curb overpopulation, quote unquote, and to put females on a path to being on birth control for their lives because of the hormones. Think about this. When we were in high school, when those birth control pills first became a thing, depression, anxiety, none of those things were a thing.
That's true.
We didn't have that.
That wasn't in our lexicon back then. We weren't... You know, weren't having to deal with other people's anxieties and or depressions or whatever. You're right. That wasn't a thing until more recently.
About the last 15 years, right?
And it also correlates with the time that birth control quits being pushed. You got a point there.
But I also have an idea, and I have no medical basis for this whatsoever. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
So if you are taking these hormones for X amount of time that your body no longer needs to produce them because you're taking them artificially.
Bingo.
So when you stop taking them, how long does it take your body to say, oh, hey, I need to kick myself into gear and start taking them again? Or does it even
where
do that
men
again?
Are concerned, and I know this for fact because I'm on hormone replacement when I'm on my T treatments,
right.
Okay?
Right.
Been freely talked about that. When they prescribe me my dosage of this testosterone on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
I'm always like, can we bump it up a little bit, you know?
Right.
And of course, they're always laughing and joking. I'm like, no, seriously. And the doctor will tell me, look, once in a while, we can give you what we call the birthday dose.
Okay.
It's not my birthday, but I'll take the dose.
The party
but
dose.
We try not to do that
party
very
dose.
Often. Yeah. We try not to do that too often because if your body starts to see, so there's two separate types of testosterone. There's your testosterone, and then there's what's called free testosterone.
Okay.
And if I remember, now listen, I'm not a medical person, so don't listen to my ass. But the free testosterone is kind of your maker, okay?
Right.
And then the other testosterone is the breaker. They balance each other out. If you start getting too much of the testosterone supplement,
mm-hmm.
your body's going to say, well, shit, I don't need to be making that much.
Right.
So the T is the free T is almost like the regulator. If the body starts to say, oh, well, I don't need to make as much because it's being injected, that free T shuts down. And when that free T shuts down, it doesn't fire back up. Once it stops, it stops.
Now you're stuck with the shots all the time.
And now you're stuck with the shots all the time. Well, in my case, when I went 5 years ago and they tested my testosterone levels, they called me back and said, we got to take this again. And I said, why? They took my blood. They didn't want to frighten me. They took it again, and they got the same numbers. Apparently, your testosterone levels, depending on doctors, these numbers can vary a little bit.
Right.
From 200 to 1,200 is where your numbers should be.
Okay.
And I was...
What's that big range?
I was 44, 43, 44 at the time.
Okay.
I'd been having some issues, just tiredness, lack of desire, lack of drive, etc., for a couple of years. On top of the tiredness, a buddy said, hey, try this out. It's no harm, no foul. I did. My testosterone was at a 71.
Okay.
They said that, and they double-checked it because there's no way, even at my age, it shouldn't have been that low. He said, that's the testosterone level of an 80-year-old man.
Okay.
I feel like it sometimes.
Oh, I'm telling you. He gave me a test dose in the office, and it took about 12 hours, and suddenly, and listen, it's not like this euphoric feeling. It's not a high. It's not a feeling that you just, you know,
you don't notice it.
You don't notice it, but what you do notice is that you have energy. You can mow the entire yard instead of just half of it before you got to go sit down for a while. You can do all the, all of that buildup comes back, and then, of course, you know, when the wife bends over, it's got a different feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have that before, you know? So,
hi, buddy.
I wonder if that, like you were saying, Karen, if that does the same thing, that the woman's on these hormones for so long that when you stop, the body goes, we're not making any more of that. We know what's coming for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know of a couple of women that have taken birth control most of their life. And when they came off of it to have children, they didn't really want to have children at that point. It was funny because they quit taking the birth control so they could have children.
Right.
And they realized I really don't want to. But then they had to go back to the doctor to get put on
a different type of
estrogen, stuff to help
kick it back up
to kickstart the But
that's so weird.
Yeah,
I mean it's the same thing. It happens in like diabetes.
Yeah,
you start taking the medicine for diabetes, your body quits producing insulin.
Same with thyroid.
Well, with diabetes, I know of a guy who's diabetic, and they constantly, on a regular basis, I should say, have to give him a different dosage of insulin, and different kinds of insulin because apparently there's different kinds.
Because your body starts to adjust to it?
Because your body will quit naturally making any, which diabetics don't really make that much.
Right.
But they still make some. But if they switch it up, then it still...
Like as soon as
it'll still do its job.
The drug, it's very hard to get off.
Well, you're never coming off.
It's so weird to think that diabetes has only been a big thing in America for about the last 30 years.
Well, that's true and not true.
I mean, it's been a thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's always been diabetic.
Right. But it's really become a bigger ordeal.
Once we let the FDA put shit in our food, yeah.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm at. If you look at the pictures of the beaches back in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, and then you look at the beaches that are now from the 90s, the 2000s, and then the teens in the 2000s, I think I understand why they think the ocean levels are rising, because everybody in it's bigger.
Well, I was going to say,
the bathtub.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at pictures of beaches around the world, other than the United States, you just look at those people, and the cases of diabetes in the rest of the world are a lot lower than the United States.
Weird.
Whereas in the United States, they have... looser, I guess you would say, looser laws when it comes to putting shit in our food. Where in
so
other
much
countries,
artificial stuff.
Yeah, in other countries, those things are illegal.
Well, and this just kind of goes back to our theories that we've talked about in shows previous. Of is the government is the government doing it by force, or are they doing it by payment? And what I mean by that is, okay, the things that are not regulated in the United States and being allowed to be put in our foods, the corporations that make those drugs or make those items are paying money into our politicians and saying, no, don't don't make this illegal. Yeah. While in other countries, they're going, no, we care about our people. And while we may be tyrants in this place, we're not going to poison our people.
Yeah.
Are we in that weird spot?
Here's another spot.
FDA isn't really looking after our health.
Correct.
Another spot is the government realized if they stay on these chemicals that we put in the food, they're easier to control.
More docile.
And we're more docile. Money.
And they will do what we tell them to do.
Interesting if you look at also...
Don't keep buying our shitty stuff.
Think about this. Back in when we were young and you saw a 35-year-old man...
Yeah, I remember.
They looked like
we were assholes towards those.
They looked like they were 55, 65 years old.
Well, it's 'cause they were busting their ass.
But they looked like they were beat. You know, if you look at pictures of men back in even the 50s and 60s, who were the quote-unquote politicians or whatever, they looked old. Mm-hmm. They looked rugged. I mean, they were haggard at 52 years old. They looked like my grandfather did at 72.
Right.
Today, we don't look as old as we did before.
That's true.
And then our...
Preservatives.
Right. Well, and then I was just going to come to that. Our living... I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. Our lifespan and life expectancy has increased quite greatly. We went from 55 to a U.S. male. Now it's 74. 73. 74. And a female, I think, is at 77, 78.
Yeah.
At average life expectancy.
So it's weird that you say that of the people in that age range who have lost their significant other. I know more men who have outlived their wives.
And that's becoming becoming a thing lately.
It didn't used to be that way, that's for sure.
It was almost certain that the male was going to go before the female.
That's because he needed 30 minutes apiece.
Right? He finally got it. And it's curious that you say that, Karen, that it's not the case because, I mean, it's still the rule. It's,
right.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly as predominant as it used to be.
Men still die faster than women. Women still outlive men. Although I have seen the trend, like she was saying, of more men outliving their
my wife's grandfather.
Yeah.
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 You know, grandma died in 2017.
Yeah.
And grandpa was old then.
Yeah.
And nobody, and I, with all due respect, I say that everybody thought he'd be gone within the year.
Yeah.
Everybody thought
it. Yeah. I thought that about my grandpa.
He didn't pass until 22 at the age of 101.
Woo.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
I guess my wife's definitely outliving me.
Yeah.
Well, because she's probably going to kill me.
Probably.
It's just, it's bound to happen.
Well, life in prison, you know, whatever.
For her, not me.
Well, no.
Yeah. And she'll probably figure out a way out of it. She'll get some insanity, please.
She does watch those shows.
Yes, she does, a lot. She'll blame it on a ghost.
So does my wife.
Zach Bagans.
I keep seeing those memes about men who want to mess with your wives. And, like, you know your wives watch
crime shows
to fall asleep to, right?
The shit is just stuck in their brains telepathically at that point. Subconsciously, they're picking up all the clues.
When we were on the truck together... She would work the day shift, basically. But right at the time where I'm supposed to take over driving, Forensic Files came on our satellite radio, and she'd listen to that. And I'd be goddamned if I didn't get stuck listening to
it. Of course.
It was a good story to keep me awake while I was driving.
When you're at that point where you're about to wake up, anything that's on TV or you being played
gets part of your dream.
Goes into your dream. So every day, almost, I was,
it was
worried
hilarious.
About how she was... You know, we went to Florida a lot, so
Gators.
There was ways for her to dispose of me that nobody would ever know. You know,
so. I'm surprised that Florida doesn't have a worse history or worse track record when it comes to solving murders.
I know, right?
Because in my mind, it just makes perfect sense.
Right? How easy would that be?
Swamp their ass and throw them in with a gator.
Yeah, because gators don't eat.
How are you all
live.
Not getting away with
right.
that?
They drown it before they eat it.
Exactly, and if it's already drowned. Look,
that's just a messed up way to kill
Dexter. Dexter had himself,
right?
He screwed it all up. He'd drive him out, he'd boat him out just to pass the shelf and then dump him off that way. Eventually,
right,
something's gonna come floating up,
right?
Gator, though,
well, it's still gonna float up, but it's gonna be well down the road.
It'll be way down the road, and it'll be a turd. Or somebody's going to find a bone, but it's going to be years before that happens.
Yeah, or a hand.
Or a hand, yeah. Speaking of wild conspiracies, if you're listening to this show right now, the chances are you survive the great eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the day, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's the new 2012, huh?
2012, 1993, 2000. 2002, 2000 for Y2K.
Y2K.
Yeah. Oh my God, did the world get their panties in a knot over this eclipse?
Right. There's so many of these things. It just makes no sense.
We have never, ever had an eclipse before.
Oh my God. I just stood out on my back porch about, what was it, about a year and a half or 2 years ago?
17, yeah.
Yeah. And no, there was one here.
Yeah.
17. I wasn't here in 17.
Oh, it was. Wasn't
there was a partial eclipse here just about a year and a half ago. I was just a year and a half ago. I even looked up at it when I wasn't.
Why
supposed
is everybody
to.
Looking at me like I'm an idiot?
Because you're usually the guy that's perfect with numbers.
You know, look it up, Karen. You got a computer right fucking there.
There was a partial eclipse. She's just trying to pull it out of her brain. It was a partial eclipse, and it had to have been in the last 2 or 3 years.
There might have been, but you're right. But yeah. The big one that
this
happened.
The big one.
Nobody cared about then. Sorry? Nobody.
It was 17.
There was a partial eclipse. I watched it from the back porch.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying the big one, the total eclipse that happened.
Right. The total one had been, it's been a while.
It was in 17.
But nobody lost their shit in 17 like they have now.
Traffic was horrible in 17 for
them. In a lot of places. Tons of places.
Yeah. And that's really all that's going to happen. Tomorrow or today.
Well, you got states that have put themselves into states of emergency. You've got people that have panic bought water and toilet paper again. It's not COVID, folks. You got all these things that happened over what?
I assure you that you're still going to be able to poop.
I promise you.
Wipe with something.
you ever been in the woods camping or hiking and kind of went,
We've been there, yeah.
Sayonara, sock, you know, I mean, it happens. And then I just got an extra sock for later. That's all that turned into.
That just becomes your...
That's right, my backup.
Your sock.
Or my... Yeah.
Your tug sock.
My tug sock. I just... The wildness and it's almost like we're just looking for a reason to panic.
Oh, yeah. No, it's another one of we were discussing this earlier. It's another one of those things that the government and the media like to do to scare the shit out of everybody.
To see if they can control us.
Yeah, yeah.
And look what they did.
Oh, yeah.
They controlled everybody.
Now, since we're recording on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and tomorrow, today,
I'm so confident.
If something happens.
You're probably not listening to this anyway.
Right.
But I'm so confident that I'm willing to talk about it today
I'm confident that nothing's going to happen.
The sun is going to disappear for a few minutes.
Four.
About 27 minutes from start. Well, what is it? An hour from start to finish, depending on where you're at?
Depending where you're at, yeah.
So
if you're in the total or path of totality is what they call it, you'll get approximately about 30 minutes of from beginning to actual eclipse until it finishes the eclipse. Right. From daylight to daylight, basically, right. It'd be about 30 minutes. But the actual time of the moon being in front of the sun is only 4 minutes.
Is it 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I still got that beat.
I'm trying to look up dates for eclipses and stuff. I found this really weird. Wow. What?
I could tell by the look on her face. So I figured she fell off of that bandwagon and went down a different road because she was giving some weird looks over there.
So Bear and I went up to Wyoming to see the...
17.
The one that was in 17.
You and half of the other country.
Yes. And it was a great trip, and I would do it again.
Sure.
I would go to Texas, but I think Texas is going to be...
Well, they're saying that the...
Cloud cover this time.
The big area to be right now is somewhere in... Is it Ohio?
Ohio.
Probably.
What? Yeah. This is already going to say weird shit already goes on in Ohio.
Yes, sir. Right. I think they're the state with the most serial killers so far.
Weird.
I'm on Wikipedia, and I said history of eclipses in the USA. I don't believe some of these dates I'm seeing here. So in Colorado, and it's got them listed by state.
Mm-hmm.
In Colorado, here's 1918.
I missed that one.
Was an eclipse. That was a total eclipse. then the next any time, and it's listed in by total, partial, and right. annular, whatever, an annular eclipse.
Every year there's an eclipse.
Right.
But there isn't one every year because the next eclipse was in 2012. We went 100 years in Colorado without seeing any kind of an eclipse.
92.
But... which doesn't make sense because I remember doing a pinhole camera in school, in elementary school.
Yeah, that's why I think
so there had a total eclipse partial,
is different than...
there had partial. To have been a partial one or something. Yeah. But then they've got, just last year, there was one October.
See?
2023.
I was out on there the porch and I did look at
there
something.
There was one.
I remember doing it because it was an odd day where I was home and it happened.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a partial or not. It said it was an annular.
You didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you had the pinhole thing and were looking at it on the ground, you didn't notice it. It was a little odd if you looked up at it because I'm dumb enough.
Where were you in 17? Where did you watch?
17, I was in Pueblo and I didn't watch it.
Okay.
So it doesn't even list the 17 here for Colorado.
Because it didn't technically come across Colorado.
Even as a partial?
Yeah, it was north.
It should have been a partial.
I think it was north of Colorado.
It was in Wyoming for sure, yeah.
It lists the one in October of 23. Then we've got the one April 8th, today, 2024. Then as a partial, it says the next total eclipse here in Colorado is August 12th of 2045.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to make that one.
Are you? I don't know if I'm going to make that
one. I hope so.
And then, I scrolled through all 70. The things because I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's about
when
I plan to check out.
Not me.
None of this makes sense.
It's Wikipedia, so there's a good answer for you
But then
there.
On the bottom it says, states and areas that will not see a total or annular eclipse between 1901 and 2100.
There are some.
Delaware and D.C.
Weird. It's because they're not states.
Delaware.
Close enough. Not with Biden lives there. Motherfucker has been there 40.
So they have never seen an eclipse.
You know they want to make D.C. a state, right?
Yeah, they're not going to. It'll never happen.
You know why they want to make it a
state? Oh, yeah, because it's a Democrat-controlled area, and they'd give them another
same reason why they want Puerto Rico to become a state.
Puerto Rico's like, to hell with you guys. And Guam will fight us to the death, and they would murder themselves strategically.
Yeah.
Because
before becoming a state,
Guamanese people hate with a huge passion, not the people of the United States. I want to be clear on that. They don't even hate the citizens or the members of our military. The Guamanese people hate the U.S. government and the U.S. military for occupying their island.
I don't blame them.
You figure Guam, I think, is, don't quote me on this, I think it's 21 miles long.
Yeah, it's a tiny little island.
At one point of the island, it's like a mile or so wide, and at its widest point, it's 7 miles wide. At one end of the island is an Air Force base, and at the other end of the island is the naval base. And in the middle is a bunch of pissed off Guamanese that we're invaded their land. Don't blame them a bit.
No.
If the United States tried to make them a state, like you said, they'd revolt. They'd probably blow up both of the bases, and we'd lose our strategic stronghold because that's the only place we have between here and China.
Right, and Puerto Rico would never become a state because they get more benefit of being
absolutely.
What is it called?
Territory.
Yeah,
they get a seat.
Yeah,
a non-voting seat in Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they do.
And they voted. It's been a long time since they voted, but the last time they voted, they're like no. Because they get better benefits by not being a state.
Right. Yep.
And let's face it.
They don't have to.
We get all the illegal benefits without being illegal.
Exactly. Yeah. And they get a ton.
I can't fit any more in there because she's another right
she
there.
She pretty much wrapped it all up.
No, they don't have to pay the federal stuff.
Yeah. Well, they pay some kind of...
It's like 3%.
Yeah, it's a very small percentage of it.
Which is bullshit considering the rest of the states have to pay, you know...
Right.
20. You know,
or more.
30%.
Yeah.
You know, so at a point, I always considered moving to Puerto Rico because of that. But
there's a surprising number
like
of America of non-Latinos that have moved to Puerto Rico.
There's a friend of mine who used to live next door. He lives in Puerto Rico. And I only know this because I caught his dad's blog.
Oh, yeah.
After the Puerto Rico, there was a big earthquake.
Yeah.
And Puerto Rico had been without water and stuff.
Yeah.
And Nathan had built a water system. We knew this guy would be a nerd.
Yeah.
He built a water system that would take water from one side of the island to another and give them fresh drinking water to help them during this earthquake efforts. Very critical of our government, rightfully so, because they didn't provide them aid, and the aid they did provide them was stored in a warehouse, and the governor of whatever of Puerto Rico hogged it all for herself and her cohorts. But his dad wrote this great blog about the efforts that were being done on Puerto Rico and how little the U.S. government really did to help them. But they're sure there for them when they need their votes.
Yeah.
This makes no sense to me. Anyway, to get back to this eclipse, some of the people will believe some shit.
Oh, I know.
There's some just stupid people out there.
The thing that people were bitching about on this eclipse was the area that this thing's covering, where it's going to climax, or whatever you call the total eclipse, is right over the Madrid fault line.
Yeah.
Directly over top of the Madrid. Oh, my God, we're going to have huge earthquakes within the next 3 months.
Right.
Okay. Well, the Pacific Rim has been pretty active over the last few months.
It has, actually.
There was a couple of earthquakes in California, which is not a huge surprise. Nothing major, nothing catastrophic. Taiwan had a pretty good one. Just was it last week or the week before?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of activity. Well, Friday, lo and behold, New York has itself an earthquake. And New Jersey. I think it was 4.3, 4 point something. And people are going, see, there it is. It's the proof. How can the sun create a fault movement?
Right.
Now, I get the sun and the moon could potentially affect the waves and the water.
Right.
Okay. How does that affect a fault line? Can it? I don't know. I'm not a geologist. I don't know. Can the water waves affect a fault line that's inland some couple hundred of miles?
There has always been supposed that the tides and stuff are controlled by the magnetic pole or shifting or whatever you want to call it, the magnetic forces given off from the sun and the moon.
Oh, I didn't know the sun part. I didn't know the moon part.
So there is a belief that when those two get close together, like they're going, they don't actually get close
together.
One blocks out the other one out. That it's going to fuck up the magnetic that happens.
Right.
Every time there's an eclipse, the shit goes
some communications crazy. Get not jostled.
Well, I don't buy into it because for hundreds of years we've had, well, obviously forever we've had eclipses.
Right.
We've just been recording them from 18 something.
Uh-huh.
You know, nothing severe has happened from an eclipse.
Right.
So that's the part that I'm like, why are you buying into this craziness?
But all of a sudden states are put on states of emergency just in case.
National Guard's called up and, you know, this and that.
But we can't call them out for crime.
No. No, that's racist.
All right. So I'm looking up a USGS list of earthquakes and I'm trying to scroll down to the New York one. The New York one isn't even shown. It's listing earthquakes by most recent
magnitude or recent?
No, by most recent. I'm scrolling down. Let's see. Okay, so here, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. That got stuff in the way. There, it looks like there's about 20 earthquakes today.
But when they, I'm curious how they.
And these quantify, are all kinds of magnitudes, 2.5
like,
up to
5.0. Like, because if you're gonna listen, when I worked down in the Walsenburg area, it wasn't uncommon. Mm-hmm. To hear from USGS, who was in the town, oh, we had a couple of quakes today. I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Well, my little thing here said that we did, so we did. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Because down there's a little fault line.
Yeah.
There was one time, I don't remember, 2014, 15, somewhere around there, there was like a two-pointer.
Right.
And, I didn't feel it.
Anyone know that's
I didn't feel it.
Right.
But there was a big deal in the news and everything, and I was like, yo, nothing happened. I mean, okay, the ground might have shifted, but I don't think anybody got anything. You know, maybe somebody's trailer got knocked off center or something.
I saw this video of a lady in L.A. laughing at the people in New York.
Right.
You know, we don't even wake up for anything above below a 6.
If it's not 6 or up, we're not paying attention. When I was in San Diego in 1993, there was an earthquake just north of where we were. It was enough that we could feel something. And the only reason we noticed the feeling was because we all happened to be standing still at the moment that something happened. And it was ever so slight. It felt almost like, remember those bright fireworks blasts that go off in the sky and they just shake you at your core?
Yeah.
It felt like that for a split second in the ground. You didn't hear it, but you felt it shake. And it was just very quick. And that was that.
Right.
So to say I've experienced an earthquake, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that counts as an experience. I felt something, right. Rattle.
In 01, I was in L.A. I don't know if you remember this earthquake, but I was in L.A. when that happened. It was like a 6.5 or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. I was asleep in my truck, and it started shaking, and it woke me up.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, what the fuck was that? And everybody else is just, everybody in LA was like
going about their business.
Yeah, no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's like, what was that? And this one guy, well, we just had an earthquake. It's
so common
but
for them.
It is so common for them, but it was frightening. I'm in my truck and my truck's going in circles and up and down at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was really weird, but it only lasted maybe a minute. I'm giving it credit, it was probably less than that, but it felt like forever.
I saw a video on X shortly after the New York one. It looked like maybe, somebody's in-home camera.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dog sitting on the back of a couch looking out the picture window of the front. And you see it. It's very pronounced. That knocks the dog off of the couch and into the windowsill between the couch and the window. He jumps up and backs out. And it also shows down the hallway. And you can see a very pronounced shift, and it literally might have been 6-10 seconds tops.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that wouldn't scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure,
building like that.
I'm pretty sure it would scare me. But that earthquake combined with April 8th, this eclipse, everybody's speaking that all of a sudden it's one of the seals of the apocalypse has been broken or some shit, and there's a horse riding out any minute. I can't buy it, guys. I started reading up. I was telling you guys.
Aren't you going to feel like a fool if.
Right?
If you're dead tomorrow.
All right, God, my bad. I was telling you guys before the show, I was doing the research on this eclipse stuff and trying to figure out why we were losing our ever loving minds over it.
Right.
And, of course, you fall into these traps as you start going deeper and deeper. You went from eclipses to earthquakes to natural events, natural weather phenomena. And I somehow ended up in Revelations, TikTok land. I'm not sure how I got down there.
Okay.
And listen, I know I'm not a biblical scholar, nor am I a theologist at all. I know what I know because of lived experience.
At one point we were,
I went to church all the time, all the time. And I'm not saying I know the scripture.
I can't quote, scripture, but I,
yeah,
the
basis.
Idea where it's at. Yeah.
I know enough to make myself dumb if I wanted to argue it. Right.
Right.
So I'm listening to this guy and he's talking about Revelation and how this ties into this eclipse and how this is one of the seals being broken. And as soon as he said that, I said, you know what? You would have had me with just it is opening explanation. He made some very relevant,
right,
compelling arguments, okay, right? But as soon as he said Revelations and seal broken, you lost all credibility with me as soon as you said that, because A, nobody knows the time or the place.
Nope.
Nobody knows the hour.
Nope.
It's very clear in the scripture. It says that. So if you know it, well, it's not happening then. And so his speculation was, such that, well, first off, you have to have the other two seals open before that one can open. So they haven't opened yet. And this is on Friday. If they haven't opened by now, you've got all this time in between these opening of seals. So you've screwed yourself completely. And like Karen said, when we first started talking about this conversation, it's an eclipse, y'all.
Yeah.
Happens quite a bit.
That's a pretty regular occurrence.
Back in the way early old days, I think they used to sacrifice somebody once in a while.
Sacrifice their king because they thought that's what what was required of the gods.
The Mayans would sacrifice a baby or something, and, you know, depending on where you live, maybe you'd sacrifice your best goat. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a few people we could put up for tribute.
Yeah, but I think they have to be pure.
Well, okay. Well, then never mind.
Yeah. I don't think any of us qualify.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
Wow. I just think that we get our and I think you're right. The government played into this really well.
Well, they were the ones that first came out and were like, you're not going to have cell phone disruption on this day. We're going to have power issues on that day. This and that, and this and that. They were the first ones to start the scare process. And the media just, you know, perpetuated it. So, like you said, it's funny to me how people are freaking the fuck out. They're taking it way too far. And what the hell is toilet paper going to do?
It's not going to clean your ass if you're dead.
I mean, why go hoard that? What are you doing?
Remember a Hale Bopp comment back in, was that? 90, oh, yeah. What was that?
Or Haley's comment.
That's what I meant. Haley's comment.
Yeah. Well, there's been both.
Yeah, both have been around since. But Haley's comment was the one that came when the Heaven's Gate cult.
No, that was Hale Bopp.
Was that Hale Bopp?
Yeah. That,
that was about 94?
Is that the, do you remember the movie Comet?
Yeah, was that but we're that getting off topic.
Off of? Wow, sorry. I didn't even see a squirrel run through here.
It's comets. We're talking about comets.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Hale Bopp. I think you're right. I think it was the Hale Bopp.
It was the Hale Bopp comet because it was the Heaven's Gate cult,
right?
And I believe you're right. I think it was around 94, 95.
Yeah, all these this group of people. Yeah,
it was shortly after the David Koresh thing.
Yes, 95. So yeah. That's a first. Damn. Write that down for me. This group of people believe that if they committed suicide at just the right time, right, that they would be part of whatever this.
They would be beamed up.
Yeah, whatever this spaceship was hiding behind the Hale Bopp.
Well, just go to this whole comet thing. There was a comet that was just seen a few days ago.
So it's the green deviled horn or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
And it was seen in the Middle East. And people are freaking out because this comet's not supposed to be visible until today during the eclipse. Well, you dumbass, it's not going to only be visible for one day. When it makes these passes, it takes a couple days.
It takes a while to get across the sky.
It's a big freaking sky, y'all. Remember Hale Bopp and Haley's took about 3 days. You could see it different areas of the sky.
I don't remember when it was, but I know it was either in elementary school or middle school that Haley's comet went by the last time.
Yeah, because
I remember being a little kid and just being excited to see it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it wasn't the Haley's comet, but I remember that being a comet at that time, being when I was a little kid.
Yeah, there was a comet when we were in school. I remember.
We got to stay up late and go out and check it out.
And you could see it from our sky. The thing about where we live here is there's so much noise, light pollution that it's hard to see the sky. Yeah. But, you know, I've heard that if you can get just about 5 or 10 miles east or west of here, things kind of open up a little bit. I think it's probably a little more than 5 or 10 miles, but... Where we grew up, you could go to certain parts of the city.
Yeah.
And you could look up and, man, it was lit up.
Yeah.
You know, our favorite camping spot when we used to go to Westcliff, it was just like somebody had opened up. It was so many stars that it literally looked like the dark didn't belong. It was a gorgeous thing to see.
It was.
But again, I think it goes back to... I hate to use the term, but when you're talking about COVID and the hysteria that involved with that, we tend to fall into these categories of monkeys.
Right.
Literally monkeys, because there was a study done, and I don't remember the exact, and I'm probably going to screw up the description of it, but a study was done back in the 60s, I believe, where these they got together a group of people. And all of the people were part of the study except for the one person who was the actual test subject. So the people in the crowd were all in on it except for the one test subject. The test subject went in and believed that all of the people in there were also being part of this test. And what they did was they created a few events. Somebody was choking or somebody was doing this. And based on what the crowd did, more often than not. So if the crowd was told, notice it, but don't react to it, don't get involved in it, the test subject would observe the people around them and then do what the people did.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it was against their better judgment or not. Right. And in several cases, they had it to being an extreme situation where somebody was dying and nobody did anything. But it goes to, you see some of those videos online where people will be doing something. And I've seen some where they'll snatch a kid out, like from an alley, and most people won't even flinch.
No, most people will not do anything.
And now we're all jumping on, well, I say we all very loosely, are ready to jump on this bandwagon that the world's coming to an end because an eclipse is happening that happens all the time throughout history.
At my job, everybody's buying into something's going to happen on Monday. And I'm the one playing the guy of, I don't, you know, I'm playing it jokingly.
Right.
Yeah, everything's going to go to shit. You know, we're all screwed.
We're not going to have a job come Monday.
Well, I guess we get a day off, you know.
I don't buy it. No.
I don't.
I find it difficult to believe, and it's frightening because if we're this easily manipulated.
Or a good portion of.
A good portion of us are. And enough to look, when COVID came around, you had people calling for the death of anti-vax people.
Yep. Some celebrities were the ones
saying these people deserve to die.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. Over a shot.
Yeah. That has been now been proven to not really
work. It's worthless. Yeah. It's a worthless thing, and now everybody's like, well, we deserve a mulligan on that until the next time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because lo and behold. Because
we were inches away from putting people in concentration camps because we refused to get the freaking vaccine.
Re-education camps because nobody would get the, or these people won't get the vaccines. Concentration camps, same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People are, you know, when the 2020 election, they said that they needed to put Trump supporters into re-education camps. Yep. Mm-hmm. What could happen after 24? I don't know that it'll go to that extreme, but I don't care who wins in 24. This country's going to experience a real crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, either side wins. It's
it doesn't matter who.
We will have another summer of love.
I don't know. Probably.
Of course, it'd be more winter.
It'll probably, because it's going to be in November. That's true. I think the summer is going to ramp up. I hope we're wrong, but I think we'll start to see more of the rhetoric.
Oh, it's already started.
Yeah.
You know, if you're paying attention to the news, they're constantly ramping you up for race wars.
Right.
Because, you know, it's black on white.
Of course.
You know, you know, they're scaring you with this this solar eclipse.
Oh my God.
Or they're scaring you with another strain of
bird flu.
Bird flu is going to kill everybody. Or, you know, whatever their case may be, they're ramping it up to start scaring you. And maybe there's going to be another cop on.
Oh, I'm sure. Black
person thing that happens. There's another George Floyd moment. And that'll set off the left for the summer.
Chain of events.
And then. When the election comes around, you know, the Democrats are going to be like, look at us. We're the, you know, party of the people. Really?
Yeah.
Where you been this last 3 years?
Yeah.
You're only a party of the people for every 4 years.
Letting people in. And thankfully, many are waking up to that, which you just alluded to. They're the party of the working class. They're the party of the minorities. And many blacks and Hispanics are saying, wait a minute. You only care about us when it comes time for our votes, but once the votes have been counted and you turn your backs on us and we suffer because of this. To hell with you. It was, and this is funny because when we were younger, the Republican Party was kind of the hobnob richie business owner elitists.
We equated rich people to Republicans.
Right. And now you see the Democrats are more the establishment type. They're more the rich, the more the wealthy, the business owners. And suddenly the Republicans are picking up the blue collar workers.
Yeah.
And the everyday Joes.
I think I was 25 or maybe around there when I realized that the Republicans were the blue collar people.
Okay, that's about right.
They weren't the working class. Mm-hmm. They were the working class. They weren't the riches.
You know, I mean, the bottom line is
there rich Republicans? Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But there's a lot more rich Democrats.
And honestly, I think all of these rich people aren't Democrat or Republican. I think they're the unit party.
Yeah. Well,
I think they're all on the same team there. That's why all of these idiots in D.C., when the cameras are on, they're enemies.
Oh, yeah.
We don't see them going to lunch together. We don't see them hanging out at night.
Kind of like the lawyers from opposing sides. And listen, you're like, wait a minute.
I was involved in a very hefty federal lawsuit many years ago. And good friends with my attorneys prior to them being retained as my attorneys for this federal lawsuit. And I think it was then when I found out, because one of my attorneys said, you know, after one day in court, we were going to go discuss something at dinner. And one of the attorneys says, I'm going to go have dinner with one of the other counsels from the other. And I looked at him, I said, what?
Isn't that a conflict of interest?
He said, no, he and I are, we worked on a couple other things back in the day, not together as counsels, but, you know, we worked, I think it was an education thing for their schooling, and we're just going to catch up. And I was like, I feel dirty, like I'm being cheated on, and he just told me about it. And the other guy tells me, says, look, if you, we all work together.
They've probably seen each other.
I see these people all the time. I know that I can work with these people. I know that, and I'm just like, but it's like you said, it's like, and he explained it like it's Congress. Mm-hmm. In court, we're going to battle. We're going to do the best for our client. But outside of court,
right,
we don't bring that stuff together.
I played football for years.
Right.
And there was people I played against that were, you know, at an opposing high school in town. We were friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time to play football against them, it was battle.
Right.
You put his ass on the ground as fast as anybody else, right?
And he stayed away from me most of the time. But he was a good friend of mine, and he was on an opposing team. And it changes when that situation comes on.
That makes sense to me, except in politics, where it bothers me the most.
It's just hard to wrap your head around.
Where all of this
makes you seem like you're two-faced.
Yeah, they are. Because where all of this fell apart, and this is where I conflict with myself, where the Constitution's concerned. Because the Supreme Court, a couple decades ago, made a decision ruling that corporations are considered, for the sake of donations, an individual and a citizen, and have the right to lobby their government. And they've allowed this dark money and this big money from corporations.
Right.
To come into politics, and that's where these lobbyists come into play. Several years ago, the drug manufacturers were allowed to incentivize doctors, and they would send these well-to-do drug representatives into the offices of the doctors, and they would take them coffees, or they would buy the office lunch, or they would bring them pens or gifts or whatever. And the government said, well, we're gonna ratchet that back a little bit. We're going to make it so you can only take so many donations from each company per year. And I don't know what that number is, but a lot of those dinners, you know, they backed off. They still happen. But the drug reps were lobbying the doctors, just as the lobbyists in D.C.
Yeah.
are lobbying Congress people.
Well, let me make a campaign contribution in your name in our name from this corporation or, you know, whatever.
I think it was Matt Gaetz was telling the story that when you get brought in, when you're voted in and you go in to D.C., you kind of get given a handler, and they're your handler for the first few weeks. They show you how things are operated and what happens. And one of the things they tell you is anytime you go to a function or event and a lobbyist talks to you about a specific bill, you can't say, because it's against the law to say, well, I'll vote for it that way if you'll fund or if you'll give a donation or whatever. But and the lobbyists know you can't say that, but they also know they can't say, hey, we're going to cut you this check if you'll do this. They know they can't say it. But what they can say is
right.
You've got this project going on in your district. we'd love to help you out with that. Mm-hmm. Can we work together on this bill?
Yeah.
And it's all because what I learned from this conversation that they were having was in D.C., party leadership plays a role, and the only thing that party leadership cares about is how much money you can bring to the national campaign fund. Right. And if you want a seat on a committee, you're going to have to write a check.
That is one thing I had heard somewhere. Can't remember which documentary I was watching, but is that first year that you're a congressman or a senator, they basically tell you it's your job to raise funds, raise donations, whatever you want to call it, for our party.
Yes.
Whatever party that may be, RNC, DNC, it doesn't matter. That's your job for that first year is fuck your constituents. The hell with your state. This is your job. You need to raise money for as the rookie.
Right.
You need to raise money for the committees. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
The first year is the year when they should be learning the system, not you're our bitch. This is what you got to do.
Well, I wondered a while because you ever notice there's only a handful of politicians, both Democrat and Republicans, who
are seen. Yeah.
And they're usually from some obscure places.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz isn't from a huge district. Lauren Boebert.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know why she became such a forward-facing person? Because she could raise a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
And she brought a lot of money from her campaign to D.C. when she won. And she had the ability to raise a ton more. Do you know that she's switched districts and she's now running for Ken Buck's open seat that he's not running for in District 4?
Right.
So she represented 3, and now she's moved to 4 because her and her husband divorced.
Right.
Holy shit, what a mess that turned into.
Never saw that coming.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then her kid being a little fool.
Ends up becoming a kind of a dickhead. So she's now running for that, and there's a lot of opposition to her from several factions.
Yeah.
But the Republican Party proper has got her back.
Yeah. I was just going to say that because when the they're doing a special election in August or
I think it's August
for the remaining time of Buck's
August to December basically.
Yeah. So just those few months. Now it's speculated that person would be moving on to run for that seat in the general election. They told Lauren Boebert, hold on, just wait until November and just run for the seat.
Well, because it would confuse people.
Well, because you could easily get kicked out.
Right.
In November.
Well, she couldn't, if she ran for the open seat, she would have to vacate her seat in the third.
Right.
In order to run for the fourth. So that would have been a problem too. Plus, she wanted to
take the special election.
Right.
She wanted to take it then.
She did.
And the Republican Party is like, no, we don't want you to give up the third and we don't want you to give up the fourth, basically is what you'll be doing because there's no guarantee you're going to get the seat in November.
Well, and she wouldn't have the opportunity to campaign enough for that. Then she'd just have to turn around and whoever wins that, if they intend to occupy it past December, they're going to have to run in the general too.
Right.
So you win the seat in August.
Yeah.
And then you have literally 2 months
to campaign
and raise a ton of money. Not going to happen.
Not that district.
I think the National Republican Party knows that. Mm-hmm. And so politics is the nastiest, dirtiest, underhanded game ever.
It is.
Harry Sisson.
Mm. We all agree, right?
You know him, you hate him. He's a liberal hack. He's a smart kid. He's not stupid. He says some stupid things, though.
Yes.
A lot of stupid things. So he's a liberal hack. He's paid for by somebody. He has a talent agent who takes care of all of his public speaking events. Yeah. So
I can't believe he gets paid for that.
He was, quote unquote, chosen to sit down with, I don't remember who it was recently, to do an interview with them.
Right.
And he was sent a list of questions bullet points, talking points that he needed to stick to.
Yeah.
He did just that. That's all he did. Softball yeah. questions. All of it was just fluff. It wasn't anything that was worth a shit in the way of gathering any information. All it was a feel-good piece. And everybody bashes the kid. I'm one of them who comes out pretty hard on him. However, I can't blame him. He's getting paid very well
right.
by the Democrats to shill for that.
Right. I wouldn't say I would do the same thing because I probably
couldn't.
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't ask the hard questions.
Well, and I say what's on my mind.
Well, there's that. That's our problem.
Yep.
Being from where we're from. But, you know, it's true for a lot of people. I don't know if I could have just stayed on topic on the questions that they gave me to ask.
Oh, I couldn't have.
No, I'd have done like three or four and then bam, hit him with
He would have, the person interviewed gotcha. Would have said something that would trigger a follow-up question and I would have to ask it. And that would be, like you said, the gotcha moment.
Yeah.
You know, we're only in April.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of bad stuff that can happen between now and November. And if you think it got dirty before, I don't think we've seen anything yet.
You think there'll be I don't think there will be a debate between these two.
I don't either. I guess, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard people talking about the last several, right? But it started in the Green Bay rally in Wisconsin last week. When Trump's doing his rallies, he puts another lectern up on the stage with him. And apparently he's done this at a couple of rallies so far, and that lectern is for Biden.
If he ever wants to show up
and debate. Do I think that Biden and Trump will ever debate? No. Nobody and Biden will ever debate.
No.
At this point, I question. Look, Biden's always been declining since he came into office, but I'm telling you, over the last few weeks, it's obvious.
And it was obvious before the State of the Union, but since the State of the Union, it's gotten worse and worse. He's definitely. I'm with you. I don't think he's going to make it.
Under Clinton, Bush Jr., and Obama, the media, whatever sides they were on, always criticized, including Trump, always criticized how much time each of those presidents spent on the golf course, spent on vacation, spent on whatever.
Yeah.
Every one of these presidents, Republican and Democrat.
Started with Clinton, I remember that.
They all got hammered. This president has spent 46%, I think that was the number, 44 or 46% of his time in office on vacation.
Yeah, isn't he on vacation again right now?
He is. He makes $400,000 a year. Now, I get that ain't much for what he's used to, because Hunter earns him so much more than that. But it's not chump change.
No.
And
I would love to make that much.
I'll tell you what. I'll take $200,000 a year, and I'll go on vacation half of my time. I'll even do 40%, just so it's a little bit, because I'm a little younger.
Here's the part that everybody forgets. For those 4 years, that 3.5 years that Trump was president, how much did he make?
How much did he lose?
Right. Exactly.
He's the first president in history to lose money.
He declined his he got paid. Yeah, let me rephrase that. He got paid, but then he donated his salary to a charity.
I heard they only get paid quarterly.
Something like that.
That's
every
weird
time he
shit.
Got, every time he got, quote unquote, paid, right. he donated it.
That's so somewhere. Weird.
And he's, you know, everybody doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, no, they don't want to, because then it would say, oh, he's just doing it for show. It's just like when
he said before he was elected that he was going to do it.
I think he made it.
This is an argument I had with somebody at work, was that, you know, he didn't hold up to any of his
campaign promises.
Thank you. But no, he did. It was,
a lot of them.
I can name a bunch of them, but the number one was that he wasn't going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He didn't. He forego his salary. He donated it because they told him, no, you have to get paid. He's like, all right, well, cut me the check and it's going to go to whatever charity.
He never touched it. He signed it and it went over to the charity immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know. There hasn't been another president who actually lost net worth value.
right.
from being in the White House. I mean, look at the Clintons. They were on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Until Clinton left office.
They stole all the furniture.
They stole all the furniture and created the Clinton Foundation and kaboom.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, they blew up.
The Obamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't poor.
No, they weren't, but they weren't super rich.
But now, holy crap. Now,
look at AOC.
Right.
This woman was a bartender with student debt. Now I think she's worth about $2.5 or $3 million. How'd that happen?
Exactly.
Because you know it wasn't expertise in anything.
Another one is Nancy Pelosi.
Dear God.
She's been in politics
like for 85 years?
I think it's like 50 years.
Yeah, something like that.
She gets paid, was it $175,000,
$200,000? When she was Speaker of the House, I think it was $220,000, but okay. Whatever it is after.
She's worth, and this just came out from somewhere, that she's worth $220 million.
I heard $260,000, but that's somewhere around in that area.
So in that ballpark, mm-hmm. whatever, from let's say from $200 million to $260,000, how in the math is a math.
Well, you know? And again, if we were to make the same trades that Nancy Pelosi made and her family make.
We'd go to prison.
Well, if we made them with the information that she did,
right.
We'd go to prison. However, there is a unusual whales on X that tracks several politicians' trades. They don't give financial advice. But they say if you followed this, you would have been up 16% or you would have been up 24% or whatever the case is.
Those are great.
Those are cool numbers. Those are great numbers. I'm telling you, because normally if you make 4 to 6%, you're in good shape.
Right.
And most of us don't have the kind of money. Look, when, you know, people.
We don't have the amount of money to make,
right,
that
to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, to make that 6%.
Yeah, I could buy 5 shares, but it's not going to make me a millionaire.
No.
It might make
you 100 air.
100 air, yeah, if you're lucky. Look, I bought, I don't even remember how many. Way back in the day, Sirius XM stocks took a dump.
Oh.
And when they took
it. As soon as they signed Howard, it took a dump.
Well, I think this was before, I don't remember when it was. This had to have been 15, 14, 15, 16-ish, somewhere in that area. I don't remember. But they took a dive, and they took it hard. And I believe when I bought, and I don't remember how much I bought.
It's right around the time they bought Pandora.
It was right before they bought Pandora.
Okay.
It's right before Sirius and XM merged.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it was just Sirius Radio. And I bought, they tanked, and I don't know what obsessed me to do it, but I bought, I think, 100 or maybe
shares
at like 34 cents.
Right. They were like super, stupid.
They were
cheap.
Dirt cheap. And I forgot until recently about them. And I just looked it up for shits and grins. And I think I spent, I don't know. What,
you bought 100 shares at 34?
Not 30, 50 bucks, I think. But all said and done, clean with fees and everything. It was about 50 bucks. And I think I'm somewhere in the $600 to $800 range.
Nice.
It took a while, but you...
Yeah.
The problem is that people like you and I...
Yeah.
Us commoners...
us plebs.
We can't make an investment like that, or we can't make a stock purchase like that and make it effective.
No.
Because we don't have the backing to it. You know, for instance, Trump's Truth Social mm-hmm. went public... And I don't remember the exact number. I think he has 73 million shares of this stock. And when they went to the stock exchange, they went to $60 a share. 73 million times 63 mm-hmm. was a load of money. And he had $4 billion.
Yeah.
All these people were screaming and hollering that Trump is broke. He's not really a billionaire. He's a liar. Well, it doesn't matter if he's lying or not.
Right.
He can do that. Free speech, right. Dumbass. But we know Trump's got a lot of money. We know he's got a lot of worth. But people think, when people hear net worth, they think that this is money in his pocket.
Right. It's sitting in the bank, he's got a lot of money. No,
this
it's
is
not like that at
paper
all.
Paper money.
Yeah.
People's net worth would count as their house, even though they don't technically own it outright and it's mortgaged. They have that property and it's on paper that it's theirs. So thereby that
yes, it's
$400 it's investment.
All of his hard assets.
Right.
Which is his houses, his properties, his
planes, as cars, you know, all that stuff.
People were pissed when he was able to make the payment on the bond.
Well, and they just kind of not revoked the bond. They just said it wasn't, you know, somehow they rejected it.
Letitia James is going to do whatever she can, yeah, however she can, to railroad this thing. And what she's going to do is interfere.
It's the freaking judge, too.
Yeah. Well, and we know about him, but she's going to interfere so badly that the courts are going to have to intervene and sanction them both. And I think they're going to taint the water too much, and it's going to screw their case. Not that their case has any merit to it at all.
No, it doesn't.
When you're summarily judged by the judge without ever getting a trial.
Right. You're told before the court even started that you were going to lose, and this is how much we were going to get.
And the judge simply
said $350 right off the bat.
Judge reads the affidavit and summarily judges and says, "We don't need to have a trial. I know he's guilty.
We're just doing this for formality." Or
well, the whole reason they held the trial was to see how much he owed, and right, then he comes up to this random number. Well, it just so happens the amount of liquid assets Trump had available to him was about $350 million.
Yeah,
odd. Real odd. We talked about how they were going to try and milk him.
Yeah, they want to bankrupt him because they don't want him running. Well, here's the thing now is this guy, Trump, has gotten so popular and so big. People are buying $400 fucking sneakers that are ugly as hell.
Ugly.
Sorry. Not sorry. They're ugly.
The white and blue ones, not the high tops. Those are all right.
But I think there's so many people that are supporting him that if he was to ask... And he has.
Uh-huh.
Hey, if everybody gives me
$5,
we can do this. And then, you know, $5 isn't that bad. I could do it.
He's got enough people behind him.
Yeah,
that $5 that add up. Well,
they've already started this. This monster is already on its way.
Huh?
You know, even if you make him broke,
mm-hmm,
it's too late. He's already going to win.
And he's
if you would have just left him the fuck alone, didn't fuck with him at all during this time off, and if he would have ran again, you guys probably would have won. If you just let him be Trump, and he didn't go after him with the indictments and all this crazy shit, he would have gone away.
I was having a conversation last week with a friend who's...
You created a monster, I'm just saying.
Absolutely. They're not necessarily liberal, but they're definitely not a fan of Trump.
I'm not a whole big fan
right,
of
him either. But I said to her, I said, listen... I'm sorry, him. I don't know where her came from. I said to him, I said, look, think about this for a second. Think about how angry you were when Trump was president. What did he really do to you to make him so evil?
Exactly.
Well, he was racist. Tell me how he was racist. Show me a time. And of course, we went right to the great people. And so we talked about that. And he had to acquiesce that was probably taken out of context. I just didn't like his mouth. Okay, fair enough. You didn't like his personality. That's okay. And you don't have to. Had you just accepted that your paycheck was better, accepted that gas was cheaper, accepted that the economy was better, accepted that you could still get a couple bags of groceries for less than $100 these days.
And accept the fact that we were exporting shit for the first time in decades.
Yeah, accept the fact that we were doing well on the export world and we were bringing money back into our country and bringing jobs back to our country. If you could have just accepted that. And just bit your tongue and said, you know, I could deal with 4 more years of this. You'd be almost out of it. It'd be almost done.
Yeah.
Instead, you had 4 years, or you're going to have 4 years of Biden.
Complete.
Who has done nothing but ruin this country. The policies he's enacted,
and
the
he
things
finds
he's done.
New ways every day to
every
fuck
day.
The country over more.
And he divides the country more, and he's created all this havoc. We're in 3 different wars now in some way or another, and we're only going to get deeper.
You're about on the verge of a fourth.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Iran decides to do it, and with the announcement that Ukraine is absolutely going to be in NATO, the day that Ukraine signs the NATO paperwork,
World War III.
Article 5 has been enacted, and we will have to, by the Constitution of the UN, we're going to have to defend Ukraine in a foreign war that is not our fight.
And I just saw a thing from Putin that was like, as soon as they're NATO, I've warned y'all, this is going to be World War III.
And that's where we're headed.
Like, that's why we've only stayed at 10% of our force going at Ukraine, is we're waiting to see what y'all are going to do. And once you guys make them a part of NATO,
we're turning the volume up to 11.
And I don't think I don't think that bodes well for us.
No.
And it doesn't bode well for NATO either.
Or the whole world.
Right.
Or Ukraine. Like, they can't even staff their army that they had. They had to lower their age to...
They raised their age of conscription to 70.
Well, and lowered it. Women. They're constricting...
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, some countries don't believe like we do because they're not as woke as we are.
Well, no, let's talk about that for a minute. So, women are equal.
Women are equal.
They chase after the same jobs we do.
If you want to be equal, you got to do the same stuff.
Why is it they don't still have to register with Selective Service?
That's a really good question.
That's a whole...
So let me ask
bugaboo
this.
Bugaboo for me.
And I don't know for sure.
Because I have three kids and one of them's a daughter.
And I have two and one's a daughter.
The two boys have had to join Selective Services. If they've done it or not, I don't know for sure.
Sure.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know. Daughter didn't have to.
Right. Nor did mine.
You know, and I don't think any of them would actually want to go to war.
No.
No.
I mean, nobody wants to go to war.
No, absolutely. Well, most people. But we had to.
Right, we had to register.
My sisters never had to.
Mm-mm.
You know, it was.
So I wonder.
We were scared into doing it. That, you know, if you don't do it, it's against.
Oh,
the law.
Oh yeah, if you don't do it, you're going to prison.
Yeah.
I wonder, because I don't know the answer to this. If I am a trans female, which is a biological male who is psychologically screwed up in the head, believing he's a female.
Yes.
If I do that, do I still have to register with Selective Service?
I bet you this is where they would change their attitude. You were born a man. You have to.
That's pretty interesting.
And I bet you that's what
people,
they do.
And how many people would say that they're trans in order to not?
Klinger did in MASH.
Look, I'm raising my hand.
in order to not have to register.
Klinger walked around in women's dresses all during
the Korean
War.
He was trying to get Section 8 or whatever it was.
Section 8.
Right.
Article 15, whatever.
They legitimately say you're crazy.
But that's because...
That's why MASH could not be made nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, MASH couldn't be made today. It boggles my mind how... You know, just to briefly touch on this, I know we're at this point where the feminists of yesterday have failed the women of today.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've allowed this woke ideology to overtake, and now these men are invading every woman's space possible.
And we're chauvinists if we
point
if
it
you
out.
Speak it out, point it out and speak about it. We're chauvinists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm not going to defend you in that either, you know? So.
Think about this. Riley Gaines today is the most radical feminist that we have available today.
I will let Karen, but if I was a female, I would say she's a hero.
I love her.
Riley Gaines?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She's so proud of her for
exactly. She's
doing
got the balls
she's
to say
doing.
Something.
Weird.
Yeah,
I had to say
in today's world that doesn't. You never know how that means.
I had to
you
say
know,
that.
Back in the day when we used to go on dates, we looked for looks, we looked for personality, and today they got to look for an Adam's apple. I mean, or balls. You know
all these people with their platforms and whatever. She's using
platforms were cool in the 70s.
She's using her platform to say something that needs to be said, not
she is,
just because she wants to be heard.
Today's radical feminist.
What I enjoy from her being out there and saying all this stuff is seeing people like Caitlyn Jenner come out and say, you know what? She's right.
And Caitlyn Jenner, of all people.
Right.
Who is a transvestite, his words, her words, whatever.
So her words. I
will be polite.
Yeah.
But then people are saying, oh, so it only counts when they're speaking your language. No, it only counts when they're speaking the truth.
When they're speaking sense.
Yeah, because let's face it, when you cut the balls off of a dog,
it's still
you
a
don't have a bitch now.
No. It can't have puppies.
I don't know. Mine can be a bitch sometimes.
But when you take the balls off of these men today, they were bitches before they had the balls cut off.
Well, that's the thing what's his name? That's going again with that Riley Gaines was talking about.
Leah Thomas.
Leah Thomas. It's been proven that he was ranked like 400th.
400 and change, yeah.
Yeah, in the men's swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wasn't going anywhere.
No. Quickly, too.
Wasn't going to make the Olympic team, wasn't going to go anywhere. So
he becomes a woman, Leah Thomas, and goes into the women's swimming and
starts breaking records.
Go figure.
Right.
Now, I've seen a race against, I can't remember her name, but there was a race between her. She was a huge star in the Olympics. And she went against, what's his name?
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. They just did a, you know,
for fun,
farting around race. And she kept up with him. But in the long run, he won. On that last turn, he was gone, you know. But Michael Phelps is a freak.
He's definitely a fawn.
The fact that she was even in the pool.
Well, she kept up with him for quite a long time, which
says some to her ability.
Yeah. And Riley's also said, I'm not the best swimmer. I was good, but I wasn't. I probably would have made the Olympic team, but I would have been, you know.
Well, he took several awards from her because of his placement, and she was just right behind that.
They literally tied in one race,
and they gave him the medal, or the trophy.
And they told her because it looked better.
And that's when she really started.
That's when she lost her shit. Yeah.
Well, here's where I have a bigger problem: is these kids' parents who are sitting by. If my kid was competing in a sport, my daughter was competing in a sport, and males were starting to come into it, I would be, I'd be loud as hell. My daughter wouldn't be going to that school. And here's the other part. This is going to be a controversial statement. Damn the people who are still getting in the pool with these, but fuck it.
Right.
Step aside and say, you know what? If there's a male going to be in the pool, I'm not competing. It's some point these people have got to stand up for themselves, because other people aren't going to be able to do everything for you.
So there's this, I believe it's in Kentucky, a basketball coach. And then the other team has a male or a female to whatever, male to female, whatever, a trans person on the basketball team on this other team.
Is it a girls team?
It's a girls team.
So it's a trans female. I gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Trans female. Playing on this other team, and they're playing for like the state quarterfinals or semifinals or something. And he goes, and the girls are bitching about it on his team. Now, this is the coach that doesn't have a trans.
Right.
The opposing team has the trans in it. Anyway, this coach goes to his girls and he's like, I understand, you know, we can still possibly beat them. But all the girls are like, no. This is bullshit. We don't want to do this. Is not fair to us. We've been, all
so they forfeited.
They forfeited the whole thing and gave the round to that other team. And I respect their
absolutely
gumption for doing
absolutely.
That. And it's funny because the rest of the area in Kentucky is basically made them a trophy. And
if more if more teams and more coaches had the guts to stand up and say, this is enough. Mm-hmm. We're not going to play these mental illness games with you. You can go and create your own bracket, which I wouldn't be opposed to. If these trans athletes wanted to put together their own brackets, by God, go ahead. Speaking of brackets, I'm sorry. Did you see the vice president the other day talking about the NCAA female March Madness bracket?
No.
I don't remember the entirety of it.
When it comes to basketball.
Me too.
I shut everything off.
I do too, but when Kamala talks, I have to hear what she's going to do. And she didn't disappoint. She came out and she's talking. I don't even know who she's talking to. And she takes her a long time to say this. But in essence, she says that the women, and she's making a point. Do you know that female basketball, NCAA, whatever, has not even been able to have a bracket until 2022.
What?
And I went, I don't follow basketball at all.
Right. I don't know anything about basketball.
But I know.
Well, no, that's been around for a long time.
March Madness comes around. The girls have brackets, too.
It's up until 22.
Just because you're not interested in it doesn't mean it's not there.
Right.
Well, up until 22, they were kind of treated like shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They got the worst place to play.
They didn't get money.
But they didn't get the best places to play. They didn't get the best locker rooms. They didn't get any of the. They didn't get the fans.
Right.
So in 22, they changed things around and they got a better advertising, better everything. And now it's more interesting to hear about.
I went and dug, and I saw, well, and I dug the comments too, because, you know me, I'm like digging for the comments just to see who's going to say what. And somebody posted a picture of a bracket from 2011 for the female basketball team. She's just a dumb jerk who doesn't understand. But to go back to it, if the trans athletes want to put their own bracket together, their own sport.
Yeah, their own leagues.
All for it. All for it.
I
truly am. But
I saw a thing where they're touting the gay games, right? And I was like,
is that a thing?
Apparently.
Wow.
So they're touting these gay games. And I was like, well, there you go. There's a,
we're
you
not
already got,
gay.
Aren't you?
Yeah, they are. Let's face it.
If you're going to tag your whole thing with the other parts of the community, then you have to consider yourself a part of the gay community.
It would just put you part of the rainbow connection.
So you're saying you're separate from the LGBT? Or LGBT?
Trust me, LGB wants those mothers gone far away.
Yeah, they don't want nothing to do with
it. So you're admitting that you're totally different from them.
Weird.
Oh, okay.
Well, if we cut the balls off a dog, it doesn't make it a female dog. It's just my new statement. If you don't cut the balls off the dog, it's a boy. But if you cut the balls off of him, he's still a boy.
It's still a boy.
Trust the science. XY, XX, get a clue.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. We always get a little controversial, don't we?
It's probably going to piss a couple people off.
If I happen to look like I care, I don't. I would have kept going because I think we could probably beat that conversation for another 30, 45 minutes. But I have got
to pee.
You can race all you want. I can just pee right here on the floor. The dogs do it. I don't know any difference other than my puddle will probably be just a little bit bigger.
See, I noticed she's right ahead.
Yeah, she's already prepping, which isn't fair. She just forgets. Trust,
race you. Boom, gone.
That's all right. I have the ability to go right out the back door.
So does she, to be fair.
Fair enough, but she's obviously headed towards the seat. We'll be see if I lift it next time. That'd get my wife. Hey, why do we always have to lift the seat? Why don't you put the seat down?
I'm trying not to get in this argument.
Why did you side-eye him when I asked that question?
No,
she did. She was like, what the?
I'm looking at you.
I'll pee all over that seat. My daughter used to be able to pee on the seat. I didn't quite understand how she did it.
Okay.
And my wife explained it to me.
Hover?
No. I'll explain it later.
I don't need it.
Hey, make sure to check out all our socials. The Unrefined Guys on all the, you know, X and Instagram and Facebook and all that. Go to our website. Check out all of our cool stuff, theunrefinedguys.com. Go to our second page. Check out Raven Crest Tactical. They are our official sponsors, official knives of the Unrefined Guys. That'd be cool to make a Tugger knife.
I think we probably could talk them into it.
We might be able to, but we'd have to get like a lot of orders, I think.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Order a knife. Make sure you enter the promo code TUGS when you check out. You'll get a cute little discount. It's a very nice discount, actually.
It is.
So you want to make sure you jump in there. RavenCrestTactical.com. Enter promo code TUGS for an amazing knife. Check them out. Midweek Tug should be interesting.
We'll see how it goes.
It almost always is. Of course, if you don't hear the Midweek Tug because the eclipse killed us all and we're all dead, don't bother tuning in.
Disregard.
Yeah. Till next time, I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And hopefully you didn't get sunburnt. Oh, wait. That means the sun went away, right?
Yeah.
But if you look into it, you go blind. I heard if I did other things, I'd go blind. You want an honest man, but you don't understand. I won't be here when you wake up again.